three pancakes with.
This morning?
This morning.
Wow. Yeah, I normally fast in the morning, so I don't have breakfast. So, but that hasn't been true the last couple days because, you know, so many leftovers and craziness.
Did your girlfriend get a lot of snow up by her house?
They got... No, they didn't get much at all. They were supposed to, but they barely got anything, too. Yeah.
2 to 3 inches, and we got a dusting.
Yep. The ice was still kind of dangerous, at least by me in Jackson. It was like the whole sidewalk was a layer of ice.
Well, before the storm came in, I went out with a spreader.
Yeah.
And spread my driveway and my walkway.
That's smart.
And by the time it came down, it didn't ice up on me.
We had a state of emergency in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a state of emergency if the clouds are a little gray.
That's because they get to send almost everybody home.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
So.
Yep. And then it'll just...
The fun part about the township closed town hall. All township employees got an extra day off. So they keep it open with one person there.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I found out why they... got the small screen. The bigger one was $500 to $600 more for the next size up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no thanks.
Starting this at 10:55 now, no matter what they're doing.
Starting what?
The Facebook and YouTube thing.
Okay.
And then keeping it on through the rest of the service.
Okay.
They're keeping the music off yet?
No.
Had it on the last 2 weeks.
How did it sound? Yeah. Probably not great, but.
Well, we have to start it right around the scheduled time. So since you don't know how long the music's going to go before the service starts,
so 10:55
we start it, even if they're still playing, even if there's still one more song to go, and then through the whole service.
Okay.
And I've been leaving the announcements on at the end, just going through once.
Yeah.
Because anybody watching at home never gets the announcements.
That's true.
Technically, you're only supposed to play 30 seconds of a song. You know.
Yeah.
You know, from Spotify or whatever online.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to turn us in.
No. Well, they have algorithms that check, though. That's the one problem. But let's hope that never checks it.
Which was that? Davies? Andy's is here. Whoop, that's on. Andy's is on. Davies is on. You got your... What do you call it on? Matt's on. You got battery? Huh? One double A. Side, isn't it?
Two double A's.
We also
got
the
double A
here.
Yeah, I got the double A.
We got them in here. Good
air. Oh, they don't match.
All right, what do you want? A blue one? I got a blue one. Hit it again. I want to know which one it is. Andy's mic.
Yeah.
a plaque on a wall.
Oh.
And
the one that sings, yeah.
I didn't set it up so that it would go off every time somebody goes by.
I don't know if, I don't know if this is going to be loud enough. It's going to be like, on this one. So I don't know if I'm going to have to go there. It'll be up to you.
Try it now.
Test it. Oh, that's really bad. Yeah, maybe it's best they don't.
Thank you.
of flash cards, SD cards. You know, I got a whole bunch of SD cards. But what are they?
You gotta get a little label maker, number them, and then someplace keep a log of what number equals.
I put it on my finger sticks. Like all my pictures and stuff. I have one. That's a big one. That I take them all, and that's my backup. But I have it written. I can put one of these labels on it.
Yeah.
It fits. But it was so much nicer with the other one, with the DVD player. I could put a picture on it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And know exactly what it was.
Well, you still can if you want to buy the separate unit.
I have one.
We have one for Al and me. USB-C. The other ones were A's or B's or something like that, which is...
Well, the C is just all around. My phone is like that.
Real tiny one, yeah.
Yeah. Which is really nice, because you put it in either way, it works.
It works. Across all different phones, computers now, they all use the same, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. But my Kindle is a B. So it's...
Yeah.
Standardized, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Now, if they can only standardize all the credit card machines in every store.
Oh. Drives me nuts.
Everyone is different.
How many times have I hit the right button and it's canceled?
Yeah. Just trying to find the thing. Where on here do we use it? Take it easy there, fella.
So... When Greg's up, this needs to go back to the middle, and then when we do the last thing, we'll be out at 2 o'clock.
What was that for?
The guitar. So, like, when John's up now doing this, yeah, it should be right.
He needs a little more in the water.
Yeah. That's what Greg did, and that's how we figured it out. So.
So you want him up to...
Yeah, where it's at now.
For
John.
For John.
And then we're going back to regular Greg's.
But John's up first?
No. This is just for the last song. So we'll have it once John's all done up there. We'll switch it back.
Put it back. And then just the last song, we've got to go back up.
And Spotify.
Yeah.
We're logged in. Yeah. Christmas music, you think? What do you think?
Yeah, we could do one last week of Christmas
music. Last week of Christmas music, why not?
It's a Christmas season.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes you got to hit that thing pretty hard to get it. We used to have a mouse a long time ago.
You can probably get a plug-in one or a wireless one.
Yeah, you can. You got plenty of Bluetooth on it.
Yeah. This. Yeah, we should get a wireless mouse. Yeah.
Spend the money. And, yeah. Well, I had suggested that they ask. And they did send out something. Anybody is updating their computer, getting rid of an Apple?
Right, and that's what someone did. Right?
No, we got a brand new one.
Falling. Ah, okay.
It was donated.
Nice. Keep us going for now.
Better keep us going for a number of years. These things are expensive.
I know. They don't make computers like they used to.
Is it for shadow here, or do we have the lights up?
They're up.
They're up.
Oh,
wow.
Here we go.
They're at
50%.
50%. I don't know. Scott. I've got to clean my glasses. You're fine. All right. Well, good morning. Well, this is the last day of Advent, and you would think, well, Christmas was behind us now, right? So why are we still celebrating Advent? Well, you want to have one more day of Advent, because we're thinking about not just the first Advent, but also the second, right? Because Jesus has come, but he is also coming again. And we want to focus on that and look at that today. And so we're going to be with the song, the hymn that is kind of the stage for our focus this morning is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We'll sing that when we're done, but we're going to read through that, look at that today, and we'll also take the biblical framework that sits around that. Before we do that, I want to pray one more time and then we'll jump into stuff and have some fun around God's word. Father, just ask that you would guide us in our time today as we look at your word. That, Father, your word and your truth would stand forth clear and bold. And that, Father, you just work in us and through us as we listen. And that Father, you would transform us and shape us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I'm going to put the words up on the screen today. I didn't have done that the other day, so I would like to do that today so we can kind of walk through. As we have this song, we have it as two verses. But, as Wesley wrote the song, he actually wrote it probably as four stanzas, but we have combined the two. We have combined the four and made two. So let's listen as we walk through. Just listen to the song and listen to the theology behind the song. It says, Come that long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. As we sing that, one of the things that stood out as I was looking at this stuff, you'll enjoy this Spurgeon. Preached when he was 21, he preached a sermon and he used this hymn and this area here to talk about the fact that Jesus was unique and that he was born as a king. Jesus was never prince. Y'all watch some of the stuff that takes place over in England? And you remember some of the conversation about Prince Charles couldn't wait for his mother to die so he could be king? Right? And she took forever. You know, like he's preparing for a job and he's like 70 years old before he finally gets the job. You know? And like he's prince for like forever. Finally. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he's an old man. He finally gets to be king. Jesus was never king, never prince waiting to be king. He was king. In the moment he was born. Born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom reign. By thine own eternal spirit, rule of all our hearts alone, be thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. As we walk through and think about this song today, and the things that sit here, There are two areas I want to focus in on. And the first is this. There are three things I think we should immerse ourselves in and figure out when we look at this song. Because there's a number of things taking place that surround this song. And you don't really realize that until you take some time to sit down and think about it. But as Wesley was writing this song, there were things that were shaping him. There were things that were influencing him as he writes. And that's some of the stuff I'm going to look at. So what's the first thing? The first thing that was shaping Wesley as he wrote this song, the first thing was godly scholarship. Godly scholarship. Here's one of the things to think about. We're going to walk into the scriptures. And we're going to get there from a different path today. But I want you to think about something. Busted wrote this song around 1745. The scholars of Wesley's day, the people of his culture, the people that, of his society, that they would look to, the shoulders upon which they would stand, the foundations upon which they would build, were people from the Middle Ages and the Reformation. I'll give you a little hint. Overwhelmingly, many of those individuals from the Middle Ages and the Reformation that were advancing thought, that were advancing consideration of our world, were Christians, the followers of Jesus. They were priests. And why were they advancing? Because they had a theology, they had a worldview shaped by Scripture. And that worldview, as it shaped them, they said, God is knowable. God is understandable. God has revealed himself to us. Because God is knowable, because God has revealed himself to us, then his creation and that which he has fashioned is knowable. It is discoverable. And because of their relationship and because of their knowledge and because of their understanding of God, they were prompted to then delve into and seek to explore and understand the creation that shaped them and existed around them. Now, why would I say that? So as I looked at this, some of the things I said underneath this song, Blaise Pascal was a mathematician and philosopher. We would recognize that name. He wrote this. He said this: there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator. Amen. You look at his song, and you come back to the end of the first verse. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Part of what shaped Wesley's words was listening to men who were advancing thought, advancing thinking, but men who were grounding the word and who were choosing to advance understanding based upon their faith in Jesus. Can I suggest something to us? There is a benefit to letting good thinkers speak into our lives. There's a benefit of letting godly thinkers speak into our lives. In the back, our back shelves there, we have a bunch of books sitting there for you to consider, to look at. Some good Christian reading we would encourage you to consider. Things that can challenge some of your thinking. Things that can challenge some of your thought. Things that can help open some doors and expand some of your worldview understanding. But what happened with these Christian writers is they wrote and they explored, but they did it from a Christian worldview. They did it under a filter and under a framework that was framed by Scripture. And as we look at the song, that helped shape some of Wesley's language in the song that we sang. That we'll sing later. There's another person that wrote. And I'll just read. Do you ever listen to the voices of today? I ever listen to any podcasts? Listen to other preachers? Yeah. You know, listen to other things and other voices that exist in our culture today? Most of us do. Most of us do. And as he wrote this song, Wesley was also doing the same thing. So there's a benefit to listening to godly scholarship. There's also a benefit to listening to the voices of today. Because when we listen to the voices of today, we understand some of the tensions and some of the struggles and the issues that are shaping our culture today. This is one of the things that stands out. Almost all of verse 2 is shaped by a poem that Wesley incorporated into a song. Almost all of verse 2 is shaped by that poem. But it was a poem Listen to it again. But it was a poem based on biblical foundations. It was a poem based on biblical substance. Just listen to verse 2 again. But born thy people to the deliverer, born a king, born a child, and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. Born thine own eternal spirit, or by thine own eternal spirit, rule of all our hearts alone, by thy all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Biblical foundations, but wrapped and utilized and incorporated, because Wesley was taking time to listen to biblical conversations. Wesley was taking the time to listen to current biblical thought. So two things I want you to recognize as we are listening to the song: the value of considering biblical scholarship, the value of listening to current biblical thought. But then we get to the third: grounding yourself in Scripture. We need to ground ourselves in Scripture. Now, because Wesley was grounded in Scripture when he listened to scholarship, he also had the filter through which to understand what was being spoken to him. And he also then had the filter to understand and how to differentiate and separate out truth from error. Also at the same time, as he listened to contemporary thought, as he is grounded in Scripture, he had the filter and the framework so that he could, again, separate out truth from error. Does every scholar speak the truth? No. And is every contemporary voice worth listening to? No. But there are some scholars that we really would benefit from hearing. And there's some contemporary thought that's really worth hearing. Now let's walk through some of the scripture that Wesley was listening to, and some of the scripture that Wesley was hearing. Some individuals would identify that they felt that, in particular, Wesley was focused on Haggai. Probably in particular verses 7, 8, maybe 9. But I want to take a longer run at this so that we're seeing it and processing it all in context. Because I feel that as he was writing the song, he was resting in, I would say like this. I come back to the process of meditating, just kind of like sitting in, waiting in, just kind of sitting in the scriptures and just kind of letting it roll over you. And the general thought is this is one of those verses, one of those passages where Wesley was just sitting as he was considering this song. We read in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel. He's a son of a guy. Governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of, I love these names, Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. So you get my little idea what's going on here. What's going on? We're Second Temple period. We're post-captivity. The people of Israel have come back to the promised land. They've returned, and they built the Second Temple, and they're disappointed. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. High priest, be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you, the declaration of the Lord of armies. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says this: once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And this is the shaking part is where they think Weston was really sitting in this whole thought process as he wrote that first stanza in particular. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. God is preparing to do something. Guys, you need to know that what you see and what you walk in and you're disappointed, you're like, oh, it's not what it used to be. And God is saying to them, no, your focus is all wrong because you're looking backwards instead of looking forwards. And I'm going to do something here that is going to blow your brains. I'm going to shake the world, and some amazing stuff is going to come forth after I shake what exists. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Why can Wesley write and look forward? What's interesting in this song is that Wesley writes and he talks about Jesus being born. But he doesn't stay in the moment of Jesus' birth. He acknowledges and recognizes the birth, but then he looks forward. And we need to be careful that we don't get stuck in Christmas. And how people get stuck in Christmas? They celebrate Jesus' birth, and then go on living life, not carrying the reality of what Jesus has done and going forward and really looking towards the coming. Guys, you gotta look forward. And Haggai say, guys, you gotta look forward. God's gonna do something. You are disappointed in your love because you think God is giving you second best. And God is not giving you second best. There is something coming that's gonna far exceed what the former temple had. Don't lose sight and don't lose faith. Keep going. Have another scripture that sits on all of this and that sits and undergirds what motivates Wesley to write. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Reading a book with a couple of guys, a gentleman and a woman, and it's based upon this idea that God is able to carry our burdens, he will give us rest. But here's one of the things, I'll give you an insight, and by the way, it's one of the books out there on the shelf, I encourage you to read it. But here's part of the essence of the conversation. Yeah, we blow it. Yep, we all blow it. And we have a tendency to see ourselves through the filter of the fact that we are people who will blow it. We have a tendency to see ourselves as those who have failed, as those who have dropped the ball. We have a tendency to see ourselves as those who have fallen short. But God sees us as those that are loved. God sees us as those who are redeemed. God sees us as those who are set aside for victory. And God sees us as those who are resting in him to move forward, not resting in Jesus because we failed. And Jesus has this way of coming alongside us and loosening the burdens of life so that we can move forward with victory and not be dragged down by those things that want to drag us down. Our failures, we have a tendency to want to carry our failures and let them sit on our lives as weights. Or how about a different story or a different classic book? When Pilgrim came to the mountain and he started to climb the mountain to the cross, that's when the burden fell off his back. Right? That's when the burden of sin and the weight of sin and the weight of the challenge of life fell off his back and rolled away. We have a God who saved us. We have a God who wants to set us apart for victory, not to have us walking and living in defeat. And that's part of recognizing Jesus' word, but then moving forward. Moving forward to the cross, moving forward to what also is yet to come. Have Ezekiel, two verses of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11, verses 17 to 20. Therefore say, this is what the Lord God says, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Okay, now he's writing to those in captivity. Now he's writing earlier than Haggai. Now, they are defeated. They are conquered people. They are dispersed. We were inclined to give up and quit. It's done. It's finished. It's over. The dream is done. The dream is dying. No. God's going to gather you, and he's going to assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. When they arrive, they will remove all its abhorrent acts and detestable practices from it. I will give them integrity of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove their hearts of stone from their bodies and give them a heart of flesh, so that they will follow my statutes, keep my ordinances, and practice them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Can I tell you something? I think the people of Israel looked forward to this and saw some of that answer when the people were restored to the promised land. But I would also suggest to you that this fully has not happened yet, but this is still yet to happen as we're gathered for the new Jerusalem. Because can I tell you something? I still sometimes have a heart of stone, don't you? I still sometimes have a heart that wrestles and struggles with what it means to be obedient to Jesus. But there's a day coming when that heart of stone is no longer there. That tension and that struggle and that wrestle with sin is going to be pushed away. And I won't need to worry about that wrestle, and I won't need to worry about that struggle anymore, because I will see Jesus and I will be with Jesus, and that burden will be laid aside for good. Amen. And then what's going to happen? Then I'm going to be free to really live the way God made me to live, which is to know him and to walk with him and to honor him and to celebrate him and to rejoice in him. That is what we have to look forward to. I think Wesley was wrestling through this and thinking of that promise as he writes. And this is also part of what it means to recognize the birth and to celebrate the birth, but also to look beyond Christmas. Because we have a hope and a future that is beyond just a baby being born. Because that baby was born king, and that baby came to accomplish an amazing work, and his work continues. Have another part in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says, is it not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went? I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord. This is the declaration of the Lord God when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. Before we sit here, you guys have profaned my name, and you guys have not represented me well, but I am going to manifest my glory through you, and those that used to watch you behave badly are now going to see you reflect me well. That's going to be because of what I've done. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will move your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Can I ask you a question? Have you considered this? When you get to glory, do you think you will lose the presence of the Spirit? I don't think so. I think the Spirit is probably going to continue to teach us, and the Holy Spirit is going to continue to come alongside each one of us and guide us and lead us in the truth. And he says, I will place my spirit. If you're in Jesus, the Spirit has already been placed within you. I'm going to reference another verse to this a little bit, but I could have gone to Ephesians 1, and I didn't go to Ephesians 1. I would love for you to spend some time looking at Ephesians 1. Probably one of my favorite chapters of Scripture. Just blows your socks off as you look at the amazing and wonderful things that God has done. But in that, it talks about the fact that he has given us his Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance in Christ. But he continued, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. But we will do this not because we're under restraint. We will do this not because our arm is twisted. We will do this because our hearts are transformed and it's what we hunger and desire to do. And I'm going to come back to Romans for a second. Remember we had that, I can go grab it. We had my big stick here. We have God's standards and God's expectations. I'll bring that paint stick back next week. But we have God's absolutes here and his standards and his values here. And yet we step across. And we wrestle and we struggle. Why? Because we choose our own thing. And we continue to wrestle because we still continue to choose our own thing. And we wrestle with submitting ourselves to Christ. But what he's talking about here is the day is coming when we will actually freely be able to live over here because we will stop trying to do our own thing. We'll stop trying to live for our own stuff. But rather we will live here and we'll thrive here. And we were made designed to live in that place of Jesus' righteousness and God's holiness. We were made for that. We were not made for how we live today. You got to understand that. We were not made to live this way. It's why we die. Because sin has corrupted. It's sin that has twisted. It's sin has distorted. The day is coming when we will carefully observe the Lord's ordinances, not because we have to, but because we want to. Because they are nourish our soul. They free our hearts to sing. And our soul just rejoices in honoring and walking the Lord. And the old heart is gone. And the new heart for Jesus is present. You will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people. And I will be your God. I will save you from your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful. And I will not bring famine on you. I will also make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field plentiful, so that you will no longer experience reproach among the nations on account of famine. You will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and detestable practices. Is it not for your sake that I will act? This is the declaration of the Lord God. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and humiliated because of your ways. House of Israel. Excuse me. This is what the Lord God says. On the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cleanse the cities to be inhabited and the ruins to be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this land was desolate and has become like a garden of Eden. You catch that part? They will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. We'll look at that in a moment. The cities that were once ruined, desolate, and demolished are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that remain around you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was demolished, and I have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. See, we need to celebrate Christmas. We need to celebrate Jesus' birth. But we need to look forward. We need to look forward to what God has also yet to do. Not live in the past, but not live in the history, and not just to live in that moment. celebrate that moment, but then live toward the future. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21-22? Now, this is God, who strengthens us together with you in Christ, who has anointed us. He has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. There you go. The Spirit is coming to give you. Every person in Jesus is given the Spirit. Every person. Every single one of us. And the Spirit is going to lead us in the truth. Promise God. You see in the Old Testament, you see certain people fulfilled in the New Testament. And the promises that are starting to be fulfilled are going to be fulfilled fully in the world. So, one of the first things I want you to recognize as we are thinking through what he has written here, what is taking place here, there are three things of which I want to encourage you to notice yourselves. Number one, take time to think through good godly scholarship. Sharpen your brain. Sharpen your thoughts. It is really good when people who are smart challenge us to think in smart ways. We get sharper. And we get the opportunity to start to wrestle with things we wouldn't have considered previously. And we get to grow, we get to develop, and we get to expand in our journey. Listen to current voices. Listen to the contemporary voices. They're worthwhile. As we listen to our contemporary voices, do you think you have a pretty good handle on stuff? Not all the time, do we? Sometimes as we listen to other voices, we just get the fuller perspective. You ever have a conversation with someone who doesn't listen to other people? They just don't listen. They just kind of get down this narrow path. You kind of come back and go, boy, I'm glad I'm not them in their shoes because it's not going to end well. Or other people just say, I just can't be around the guy because he just doesn't listen. He just doesn't understand. When we learn to listen, we start to become a little more rounded. We start to understand the tensions, and we are better positioned and better able then to have a conversation with people in our culture. And by the way, we need to be ready to have a conversation with people in our culture. We need to understand our world. We should be participating in the world, but we need to understand our world so that we can speak to people about what it means to walk with Jesus in our world. But all of that is grounded on the Word. See, we need to be students of the Word. It is as we're students of the Word that we're able to sift through scholarship that is good versus bad. As we're students of the Word, we can sift through the voices in our culture in our day and determine those voices which have merit versus those voices we need to dismiss. We need to be grounded in the Word. And interestingly, as Wesley wrote, he listened to scholarship and he listened to the voices of his day, and he wrote a great song that was grounded in the Word, but represented those other voices. One last point for me. I would encourage you to embrace the essence of what Wesley said in the song, let me hear it as I wrote it down. Celebrate Jesus' birth, but don't get stuck here. Look to his mission and return. I'll read it again. Celebrate Jesus' birth, but don't get stuck here. We like to get stuck at Christmas. The joy, the emotion, the fun, the family, the food. But we shouldn't get stuck there. We need to look at Jesus' mission. We need to look at Jesus' mission. A couple verses stand out. Matthew 28. You should know this if you're talking about Jesus' mission, our mission. Jesus came here and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. If we are celebrating Christmas, but we are not celebrating this commission, we've got it wrong. See, we need to celebrate Jesus' birth, but we also need to celebrate what Jesus has given us to do. And Jesus has given us a task, Jesus has given us a mission, and that mission is to make disciples. Training and equipping them, and grounding them in the things of the Lord. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. See, we need to enjoy the moment, we need to recognize the moment, but we also then need to look forward to his mission and his coming. We have a responsibility to be about the tasks that Jesus has assigned us. It's really difficult to celebrate Christmas unless we're just doing it emotionally and culturally. But as people of faith, it's really difficult to celebrate Christmas and not embrace and celebrate the mission that is given us. See, if we're truly going to be people who celebrate Jesus, we're celebrating all of Jesus. Not just a sliver of what he represents. We need to celebrate his birth, but we also need to celebrate his mission. We need to celebrate the moment, but not get stuck in the moment. We need to keep moving forward and looking toward his mission and his coming. So celebrate the Great Commission and living. Ask yourself, how am I being a witness? How am I pointing people to Jesus? And how am I helping other people become faithful followers of Jesus? Encouraging them to be disciples of Christ. Next, Revelation 21. Jesus is coming, and something different is coming in the future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I gotta be honest with you. If you want to ask me later, what does it mean by the sea was no more? I really don't know. That's a really interesting statement, and lots of opinions and lots of ideas as to what that means. Really not sure. It could mean there's no more oceans. It could mean that. But I don't know. Okay? And the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. See, we have a future that we're looking towards. We have a future in glory. Yeah. And part of the challenge is that we should be looking toward that. We should be anticipating that. We should be living with that on our horizon. That's what we're living for. Now, I've been asked at different times, what's it going to be like in heaven? So I want to encourage you to look at Genesis 2, verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man, placed him in the Garden of Eden, to work in and watch over it. As I process and look at the work of God, overwhelmingly I see the work of God being the restoring of that which has been lost, in the fixing of that which we have broken. And so when I think about what does eternity look like, you all remember the cartoons and commercials, and you know, I'm thinking of what's the mouse's name?
Mickey
and Sherry.
Mike and Jerry?
No, Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. So Jerry's the house of Tom's cat, right there. So they are Tom and Jerry, and they are just in my brain. You know? And they die. You know, these the cartoons where they get blown up and they die. And you see the one there with the horns and the tail, and the other sitting on a cloud. I don't think that's heaven. I don't think that's eternity. And we need to understand that I think eternity, the seed of understanding eternity, actually is in Genesis 2:15. The Lord took the man, placed him in a garden to work it and watch over it. And before the process could even really get started, Adam aborted the process. We're here thousands of years after Adam. Imagine what would have taken place in the garden as the garden got to be expanded. And as thought and creativity and knowledge and understanding was developed under the reign of the Lord from the knowledge of God. I don't think it's the absence of technology. I don't think it's the absence of development. Because in particular, we see a new heaven and a new earth, in particular, a new Jerusalem. So we see the advancement of development. There's an opportunity for growth and development, and I don't know exactly what it is that God is going to place in our hands to pursue. But it's not going to be pointless and purposeless, and we're not going to just sit here playing a harp. Because I've got to be honest with you, if we're sitting here playing the harp, I'm not going to be in the chorded section. Because I'm going to be in that discorded section. Because I've tried to play instruments. I've tried speaking a bunch of different languages, couldn't do it very well. And I tried to play various instruments, and I struggled. You know, I'm going to be in the remedial music section for a really, really, really long time. Okay? I'm not going to be with the music to you. Now, I can sing and carry a tune, but I sure can't play it. I don't exactly know all of us going to be there, but I know that God is going to have a purpose for us. God placed Adam in the garden with purpose. Adam was there and Eve was there with purpose. They were there to manage it, to care for it, and ultimately to expand it. So it would have spread and gone over the entire earth. But they aborted the process so quickly that we even get a hint as to what amazing development would have come as we would stay in that sweet spot of where God created us to exist. And when we get to glory, we have the opportunity to sit and exist in the sweet spot of where God created us to exist. Yes. And that is an amazing thing. And that is something worth looking forward to. So as we close out Advent, as we close out our Christmas season, don't get stuck at Christmas. I don't know if the banks still do this, but I remember the days when you could go to the bank and they would have the Christmas club. Okay, some of you remember the Christmas club. Okay? And it would start at the beginning of the year, saving towards Christmas again. It's great to celebrate Christmas. But our focus shouldn't be on Christmas. Our focus should be on the mission that Jesus has given us. And our focus should be on Jesus coming again. Because Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, I want to say thank you so very much for your richness and goodness to us. I want to say thank you for the hope of God. I want to say thank you for the hope of life. And Father, as we Exit this season as we will gather again in the new year and looking forward to the year that's coming. Father, I would ask that you would move us to look forward, not just to the year that's coming, but Father, you would move us to look forward to how we can serve you well, how we can walk with you and know you well, and how we can pursue your glory, anticipating and turning to your presence. Father, I would ask that you would be glorified in us and through us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jacksonville that does doing outreach ministry. So those are the key areas that he's going to be involved in. And so, and it's been a privilege for us to have you here. We have a couple of things we want to give you. But then we also want to just pray over you as we send you out. And I'm going to ask you to hang out down here, say goodbye, and wish him well. And as he leaves Tuesday to head south, why do people leave here in January to head south? But we get to head full north in the summer, and you'll get to enjoy the summer down there. Guys, why don't we just place hands in? I'll ask you guys, as the Spirit might lead you to pray, and then I will close as we do that in Winchester's prayer. Let's pray for this prayer.
Lord, thank you so much for Andy and the ministry he's had here, and always stepping up and leading worship when I was not available. Lord, he has the gifts, he has the talents, and we've given those to him, Lord. Now as he moves forward for the next chapter in his life, Lord, help him to use those gifts to lead his next church and ministry, and may he touch people's hearts. May he plant the seed of God in those who don't know God, and may he have safe journey down Florida.
Father God, I'm just grateful, Lord, for this man who's come into our lives and helped us lead your church here, Lord, and we just lift him up and celebrate him today, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to know him. We pray for Andy as he moves forward and begins a new journey and a new chapter, Lord, leading where you are, following where you are leading, Lord. We just pray for his safe travel. We pray for the new church that he will become part of. Let him do everything, Lord, in your name, and lead more and more people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you. And we thank you for what you've done in and through Andy. We pray that you continue to bless him and keep him as you would turn your face towards him. That you would give him your peace, your strength, your love, your compassion. Lord, we ask that every room he walks into would carry with it the aroma of heaven. Not because of who Andy is, but because of who Andy is when he is in your presence, in your work. Lord, that he would be, as you would call him to be, an ambassador of heaven. That those who hear him speak would hear Christ in his mouth. Those that see him would see Christ on his face. Those that watch him would see Christ in his step. And those who interact with him would see Christ in his day-to-day life. Lord, we ask that you do this by the power of your Spirit.
Father, as we send Andy forward, as he embraces this next big step and challenge in his life, Father, we are confident and know that you will be with him and that you will move forward. Lord, I would ask that you would allow Andy to hold on to you with all that he's got. Father, I would ask that you would give him courage to step forward and to step out in boldness and in the name and in the power of the gospel, the name and the power of Jesus. Father, I would ask that you would allow him to listen well to your Spirit as you will prod him in your word and as you will prod him in how to walk and how to live. That, Father, you would guide his steps, and that, Father, as you're guiding him, you would make him attuned. That you would help him to really refine and clearly hear your voice and your guidance. And Father, I echo as Winchester prayed, Father, I would ask that you would bless him. That, Father, that you would indeed make your face to shine upon him. That, Father, that he would not be looking for other things, but that, Father, he would be looking for your blessing and your approval. Father, we can be so inclined to be seeking other people's approvals, to have other people pat us on the back or give us an attaboy, but Father, let him seek that from you so that, Father, your face would shine upon him. And Father, I ask that you would give him peace. Father, in ministry of times, Father, you know that there is not always peace. There's tension, there's turmoil, there's a rumbling and a restlessness of spirit. Father, I would ask that you would give him peace, so that as he fixes his eyes on you, as he walks the path that you have set before him, the Father, he would have peace knowing he's walking the journey and taking the path that you've set before him. And Father, I would ask you to give him courage to live by faith, not to hold on to that which you can see and not to hold on to that which you can hold. But Father, he would hold on to you, just that anticipation of what he will do, that he will be a man who lives by faith. Father, send him forth with your blessing, with your grace, and with your power. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious and mighty name.